What's up, y'all? We're back with another episode of Dear Pretty Girls. And y'all already know how our vibes are. Y'all already know what we got going on. And also, before we get into this, we have a new co-host. Like, she's with us. Like, she's stuck with us, all right? So,
yes.
I want to introduce y'all because y'all going to be seeing her a lot. We have the Miss Corey Nicole.
Hey, y'all. Hey, so excited to be here. I'm so excited to be a part of the podcast. We have so much in store for y'all this year, so just stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And not only that, we have a wonderful guest. Not one, but two, and their couple goals. So we have Devon, the entrepreneur, baddie, fashion.
Yes.
I'm talking about designer bag.
Keep going.
Luxury bag.
Yes.
Get into it.
I mean, look at his like outfit. Like, look at this shirt. It's a moment. Like, the fashionista, for sure.
And then we have Cash, okay? Cash, he's a singer. I'm talking about can spit some vocals for us, all right? So, first, thank you all for coming to the podcast. We're so excited to have y'all. If you don't mind, can you just kind of tell us what you do? Well, not us, because we know. So tell the people what you do.
Okay. Well, I am, as she said, Devon Ortiz, a.k.a. Devon, not Devin. I'm a blogger slash also designer as well. My brand name is Devon Ortiz as far as my collections for my bags and my designer things I do. Devon, not Devin, that's my blogging things where I basically talk about really whatever comes to my Capricorn mind. That's fashion, that's lifestyle, that's advice. It's really whatever comes to my eclectic Capricorn mind at that point. And just add a little, there's a lot going on in the world. So I'm like, you know, I try to add a little fun spin to it, try to have fun with it and not just, you know, always the more serious stuff. So try to have like a fun spin to thing, kind of crack a joke or two. But yeah, that's what I do.
And also, Cash, if you don't mind, can you tell people what you do?
Got you. Hey, everybody. My name is Cash. On all platforms, it's Kashif. I am an independent artist, and I love to sing.
Period. Oh,
Devon, not Devin, okay, on Instagram and TikTok. That's what it is. Okay. Oh, I couldn't remember TikTok for a second.
So, y'all, we have a topic we definitely want to talk to y'all about. Y'all know here we got to tap into the relationships. We got to tap into the love, the life, the financials. And before we get into that, of course, we're going to ask both of y'all just a few questions to get y'all out there and get y'all just a little bit more comfortable. You feel me? Because see it here.
What you about to ask me, girl? What you about to ask me?
Like, she finna have us drinking soon, so y'all gonna
nothing
be good.
Crazy, it's okay. So we do have a truth and drink segment, but y'all don't have to worry about that right now.
Okay. Except right now, though, but I gotta worry about it later. Like, okay, go ahead. Yeah, okay.
So my first question, we just wanna go back and forth.
That's fine.
My first question I do have for you, what made you wanna get into the luxury designing business? Because you skipped, like, the basic bags. You said, bitch, I'm gonna do luxury.
I know, that's all right.
Why be basic? But anyway, I have been in fashion since about the age of 9. I've modeled in New York Fashion Week. I've modeled in fashions up and down the coast. I've done couture. I've pretty much done it all. I've done spreads and magazines, etc. So it's already in my DNA, already in my blood. So for me, doing a basic line of just, you know, just regular things, I've been doing couture my entire life. So leathers, those kind of different things, it's already kind of what I'm used to. And also, I love an elegant look. I love dressing something up, and I love adding something that's going to be a pop, not just, you know, regular basic bag that, you know, go grocery shopping in. I mean, you can go grocery shopping in my bags, but it's a bag that, you know, be cute on the town. It's, you know, a bag to be, you know, go somewhere. Because I want people to feel good about themselves. I don't want it just to be, oh, I throw this bag on, I got to go to work, whatever. I want it to elevate not just your look, but how you feel about what you're wearing. Because I'm a full believer that your clothing, it affects your mentality. It affects how you feel about yourself. When you put on a suit or a shirt or whatever, you automatically, your how you feel and how you sit up a little taller, you know, it automatically elevates how you feel about things. So that's what I wanted to translate to my bags, is my designs as well.
Oh, do you have a bag you can show us?
Ooh, dear.
I do, but I should have brought a different bag. I did not even think about that. That's bad.
That's fine.
Yeah, my bad. I'm
what
friend.
You got for
I'm gonna show you next time.
Yeah, definitely bring it to us next time. But I do want to definitely get into what I've been seeing lately on, you know, social media, which has been really interesting. How, of course, you do have, like, the luxury, like, haute couture brands, right? Mm-hmm. But then you will see some type of fast fashion brand try to make a replica of, you know, those exact same items. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about that? Like, it's just fast fashion and the direction of where the industry is going right now?
That's actually another reason why I wanted to do my brand a little different. I feel like it's a lot of the same, like you said, a lot of the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. No shade. And obviously get your money, get design, you know, do what you're going to do. But I do feel like it's a lot of the same thing over and over again. The artistry of it, it's just, you know, you just took a basic design that's already out there. You just threw another color on it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I wanted to come up with actually designs that are different, because I kind of more so go from a lot of people, they get the outfit first and then they add the bag afterwards. Mm-hmm. I want you to grab this bag and then tailor your outfit around mm-hmm. the bag. So with my designs, it's not just, like I said, you know, just something you're gonna see you go to Target or, you know, go anywhere else from the brand. It's a whole different kind of look, a whole different kind of feel, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of, you know, replicated things. There is a lot of the same back and over again. It's more about you have the, because it says, I'm not going to say a name, but because it has, you know, a certain name on it,
yeah.
it's more about that than the actual design, which once again plays into why I want you to feel something about it, not just the fact that it has my name on it. Mm-hmm. How is it going to impact you?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm big on it being different, because there is a lot of replicated right now.
Because even with you were saying that you want to like have the bag to tailor to your outfit. So how do you feel that you came to that type of conclusion? Because some people might even try to put like the shoes first, right? Mm-hmm. And then tailor to outfit. But I do think like the bag is like a really like smart. Mm-hmm. I even try to do that with my hair. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time I'm like, let's, even before we start with the outfit, how am I going to do my hair?
Uh-huh.
So like, how do you like determine, was that like the best way? You know, like bag first, then like clothes. Like, why would you suggest that method?
Well, because really that's just a personal thing I did. Mm-hmm. I can't say necessarily it's going to work for everybody. If you want to start mm-hmm. with the shoes, start with the shoes. If you want mm-hmm. to start, find a focal point. Because sometimes one thing I find when it comes to people styling things, it can get a lot because they don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be hard to figure out, okay, should I start with the shoes? Should I start with the pants? Should I start with... Whereas if you start with one focal point, you can kind of build off of there. Because especially mm-hmm. for a lot of people who aren't stylists, who aren't in fashion, who haven't been doing it for as long as I've been, it can be hard to figure out how to match things, how to play with things, not do the basic thing over and over again. Whereas if you give somebody a place to start, it's much easier. Okay, this is a green bag. Okay, I can start with that green bag with, you know, and pull out one of the colors and go from there. So for me, it was more so also about convenience of kind of giving people a place to start. Whereas when you just said you're trying to start from fresh for an mm-hmm. idea, it can be hard to figure out what to put together. So that's why for me, like I said, having a focal point being the bag, it was like, you know, I think that'd be a good place to start for everyday people as well.
Okay, yeah, no, for real. I mean, have you, I'm not sure if you have ever styled, you know, Jay yet. Have you styled her before? Or
I
would
have
you?
Not. I haven't styled you before yet. Yeah, I haven't styled her. Well,
you give me a piece.
She'll ask me like opinions yeah. on things as far as okay. like doing like full look. I have not done a full look for her before, but I was actually a fashion director for a magazine out of New York for a couple of years. Okay. So I'm styling all the time.
Oh my gosh, even with your New York Fashion Week experience, I know that's pretty hectic, because even I've done New York Fashion Week like a few years ago, and I, don't get me wrong, I'm an LA girl at heart. So New York, I understand that they're like the fashion capital. And it's, you know, definitely not for the week to live out there permanently. I cannot live in New York. Like, I just can't do it. I just can't. But just describing that New York Fashion Week experience, I mean, of course, you're blessed to be able to have the opportunity. Just walk us through, like, what that is like typically. Like, what did you do? Like, the emotion that you felt? Just how that overall experience was?
So I've had two experiences. One, I was actually, back when I was the director of the magazine, I was one of the producers of the actual show. And then I've just been the model as well. So I've seen it from two different sides.
Mm-hmm.
The production side, whole lot. Because it's a lot, but it's a good lot, because you're doing something you love. You're doing something you're enthusiastic about. And I was one of the producers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. You're ripping and running. You have people, models, running up to you. I can't find my shoe. Okay, I got a whole shop to do your shoe. Not important.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care about your shoe right now. No shade. Yeah. But you know, I got a whole show, line up with designers, et cetera, I need to take care of. So you got to be able to organize. You got to be able to keep on track of what's going on, because it can get away from you. Mm-hmm. The show that I did, there was over 1,000 people in audience. It was like 500 members of press. It was over 200 models and I think like 30 designers. It was huge. It was on the Hudson, River. It was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And there's only like five of us that are technically producing this. And then up under us is where everybody else is. So you're five people all trying to coordinate, you know, where everybody's supposed to be and whatnot. It was a lot, but it was good because I love fashion. I love what I'm doing. So if you don't love it, you get the floor. But, you know, it's a great experience. And then on the other side, being a model, walking on that stage, you got the jitters before, you know, you're going to walk out. I've been doing it for years. But even now, if I was, I haven't been on a runway in couple of years now. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing it regularly, even every time I was like rocking the runway, you still have those jitters. You still have that because there's flashing lights. Just people are literally, mm-hmm. everybody's there to critique you. So, you know, mm-hmm. it literally, that's the whole purpose of why
it is, literally.
So it can be a lot. You got to make sure everything's perfectly pressed. You got to pull everything. It's, you know, you can't have anything out of place or whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you're paying attention to your, it's not just your look. You got to make sure you're walking right. You got to make sure that your posture's right. You got to make sure that you're showing off every bag. So you're thinking of, people think it's everything. People think it's just a pretty mm-hmm. person walking on the runway. No, you're mentally thinking about 50 million different things the entire time. Why you're going down that runway? When you get to the end of the runway, did you show the bag or did you show the dress or did you show the pants? Whatever it is, then you know it's just the focal point. Because if you didn't, you just pissed off that designer or photographer because that's the whole reason why they had the show. You just wasted their time and their money. So it's a lot. But you know, it's a good experience when, like I said, when you love it. That's why if you don't love fashion, stay out of it. But if you do, it can be a great industry to be in.
Yeah. I even feel like fashion, I mean, again, a lot of people would be like, oh, like sports has to be like a particular, you know, thing. But I think I think it's a sport, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just feel entertainment industry, like fashion, all of that is a sport just in its own right because mm-hmm. it's still having training. You still have to practice.
If you can't walk, you better be walking up and down that hallway.
Exactly.
You better be in that mirror, figuring out your poses, figuring out your angles, figuring out what looks good on you as far as this. Because when you stop, you don't have a mirror to be able to look at it and be like, okay, does this smile look right? Or does my eyebrows look right?
Exactly.
You got to know automatically your bone structure, your muscles, and everything else. So you got to practice. Like, I used to be in the mirror all the time.
Because fashion is a lot. Like, from your hair to your shoes, to your jacket, to your purse. Like, fashion really is like, because one thing about it, if my hair don't look right with this outfit, then you get what I'm trying to say? Like, it's just fashion. Like, mm-hmm. you have to know how to match your makeup, your hair, your shoes, your socks. Nothing stop your accessories, your jewelry. If your purse got gold in it, don't go put on no silver jewelry.
Yeah.
Like, that's just fashion.
It's the little things, honestly. Because people, like, don't consider that sometimes. Like,
And that's one of the reasons why, even with my bags, for people that don't know how to do a bunch of different patterns and don't know how to do, like, a pop outfit, the bag will do it for you. Just throw on a basic outfit, and the bag will do it for you.
Exactly.
It simplifies your life, but you still like that bag. Oh, I want to cuss. You still like a baddie, you know, just with the bag. You gotta worry about stressing about, you know, did I put everything else together, the bag is gonna do it for you.
Exactly. I mean, even with, you know, the past New York Fashion Week that just happened, I mean, honestly, Zendaya, because okay, I know that I don't know if you love Law. I love Law as like a stylist, right, in the fashion industry world, mm-hmm. and I just feel like he pulls so many archive pieces. And I was just wondering if you personally, like, do you look up to, like, his style? Like, who is your, like, favorite celebrity stylist or even, like, your favorite luxury brand right now?
He's definitely someone that I do enjoy his styling. I definitely enjoy his, because, like you said, Zendaya and a lot of, mm-hmm. I have yet to see one of his clients that I just, like,
don't like. Yeah, literally.
It was just, like, a bad, worst dress list or literally. Whatever. I've yet to see that. So I definitely, he's definitely one of my ones that I definitely love. Not even just, you know, I also model wise, Alton Mace, I don't know if you know who that is. He is mm-hmm. a black skinny model. I love his style. I love his. He's very much, I think he was the first person to walk in a lot of different fashion shows that didn't have black males in them up until him. Mm-hmm. He's breaking a lot of barriers as far as, you know, black models being able to walk in fashion, black male models walking in fashions and everything else. So he's actually, before the stylist, before everybody mm-hmm. else, he's actually one of my biggest influences, because even on his, like, he's how he styles himself and how mm-hmm. and even the different barriers he's breaking within the fashion industry. Because some of these shows, like I said, have been around for some of these design labels, they've been around for hundreds of years and they've never had a black male walk in their fashion show.
That's insane to me.
That part. So having him break those barriers on top of his style, on top of him being just natural, because he'll have his natural afro out sometimes. Mm-hmm. He'll have it in braids sometimes. So it's not just the, you know, stereotypical how we're supposed to show up to a show.
Exactly.
He shows the regular hairstyles. He shows, and he's also skinny like me. He looks very much like me and other people that are, you know, not necessarily the big.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah. So he's actually a bigger influence to me than, you know, some of the other, you know, whether it's designers, stylists or whatever, because I love that he's being just truly him and breaking barriers by being just him.
Yeah. And we really need more people like just on set that know how to like do black hair.
Yes.
And just like that is so, like, I feel like a topic that's been overlooked for years, mm-hmm. decades in the industry. But I feel like now, hopefully, since black representation is becoming more of, you know, a topic, rightfully so, mm-hmm. just about what we deserve, equality, that is starting to transition into more of those spaces.
I cannot think of her name, but she always, She always has her hair out in these curls. I cannot think of her name.
Her natural hair?
Yeah, she always, most of the shows I've seen her in, she's in like a natural curl. I cannot think of her name. She's definitely become like one of the biggest models out right now, but I cannot think of her name. Mm-hmm. But I love that she has her curls out. Because back in the day, they try to straighten your hair every time. You had to be straight, which nothing's wrong. Obviously wrong with
exactly.
that. But celebrating the fact that black hair is beautiful as well. It doesn't have to be just a stereotypical straight hair or perm or whatever. Black is beautiful as well. Your curls, your natural curls are fine too. I got a bunny right now.
Literally.
Could have put some twists in, could have did well. That's usually what I wear, but I was like, you know, we're going to give her a break. And we're just going to do natural curls for a second. So, you know, I love it.
Okay, so just kind of switching from fashion to music just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Cash, what inspired you to be a music artist? Well, not even just a music artist. What inspired you to want to sing?
To sing, I would definitely say I come from a family of people who are, I don't want to say servants, but they serve. We serve. And music is so therapeutic. I come from a background of people who are from Jamaica, so... Definitely rich culture there, rich music, and I always felt like I was just in like a family, like a Jackson 5 situation or the Houstons, you know, I always felt like I was in that.
Sorry.
I always felt like I was in a domain of music and, you know, grew up in the church, you know, singing, so that definitely adds the spiritual flair to it, but music is... therapy. Music is love, and I just get lost in music. So
what's your favorite genre of music?
I'm gonna say neo soul is my favorite. I love neo soul. If not neo soul, I'm gonna tiptoe to R&B, probably jazz after. But
you give me a soft voice. Like, he has a really smooth voice. Have you ever sung to Divine?
You better.
I have over years.
So I would have been like that. He would have been like, sing to me.
I have, and he's sung to me too. So
you can say,
yes, he can sing.
You can say,
yeah. I'm not on his level, but yeah,
he's like a little song.
What is hidden selling came in at?
You said what?
What is hidden selling came in at?
It's been there since I was born. I just don't.
He actually wrote me a song himself.
I wrote him a song and sung it to him.
Because if anybody knows, like, the Von, like, just on a personal level, I just don't see it.
Wow. Wait a minute. What's she trying to say?
I just don't see it.
What you trying to say?
I want it. Can you speak something? Can you?
What you want me to say?
Because I've heard you sing before. I know you can sing.
Hold on.
Look. He said, and can.
What you want me to
say? I want to hear you sing.
You sing something, and then I'll get myself together, and I'll think of something, because you always have something off the fly. It's your your department.
You can just do like a little snippet, like a 10-second snippet.
Okay. Love, so many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how, because there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ooh. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. 'Cause love, so many people use your name in vain.
Oh my goodness! Hitting the little octaves.
No, literally, I'm a soul. I don't want to start pressing stuff.
I'm done.
I always go pressing. Yeah. Okay, that was very soothed. That was very just a soothing voice. I love soothing music. Have you ever heard Pink Sweat?
Yes.
Like it puts you in that genre of just smooth.
Yes.
And just kind of also tapping. Who inspired you?
Ooh.
Who's your favorite artist? Uh-huh.
My favorite artist, Jasmine Sullivan.
Period. Oh my goodness. I can believe
she
that.
She is royalty. I mean, there's no one like Jasmine Sullivan. I have had a lot of inspirations growing up. I've had a lot of artists I would listen to all the time. Definitely Beyonce, like Mary Mary, Jasmine Sullivan.
Of course.
Very big gospel inspirations, definitely. But the neo soul side is where I get that calm from, I believe, like India Ari, Jasmine Sullivan, oh Lord, I don't want to start naming, but yeah, neo soul, yeah.
Okay, Okay, bet. And y'all are a couple goals. You got fashion over here. You got singing over here. So y'all know, like, y'all can work together.
Yes.
Okay. As in, like, very much put so. Him on with this style. I got to hear you saying.
I really thought we had moved past it. I was so
was
happy.
Like, he was like, I'm so happy. The attention so is off happy. Of me.
We had, why do you think I did this?
But listen, though, it's okay because our main topic of today is relationship goals. And I'm happy you brought him because this is relationship goals. Our main topic is just kind of exploring strategies for building and maintaining strong, long-lasting Black relationships. Mm-hmm. So with you all just being Black, and not only Black, of course, you're in the LGBT community, how can you just make it to where, okay, this is like, we're stuck together, like, we ain't got to worry about nothing else. So how did you all make it to, because you said a year?
Yes.
How y'all even make it that far?
November was made a year, so it's a year and some months.
And just a quick background story, y'all. I'm asking these specific questions to DeBlam because I know him. I know him. So I really want to know. How did y'all make it to a year?
Okay, not pause you. On me. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Conversations, I will say, are important. You have to talk. Talking is work, but you got to clock in and do the work. We only learn through communication, and we can't just rely on body language. Conversation is very important. So I'm going to throw this in, but shout out to Bishop O.C. Allen, our pastor. Just today, he spoke about, you know, when you're getting to know someone, it's beautiful to know that they're from Chicago, Fort Lauderdale, whatever, but ask them, what are your triggers? What triggers you? What makes you uncomfortable? That way you can grow with them and know exactly how, and that's really what you're dating. I mean, when you date somebody, you're zoning into, how can I make this person comfortable and how can we grow together? And that's the best way. I mean, it's nice to know that I know you're from Miami, but what makes you uncomfortable? What is that one thing that makes you feel safe and makes you feel honored? And that's very important. I would say, in the Black community is the conversations, because our culture is very prominent. It's very strong, but I think we can all attest to, we didn't really have much conversations in the Black family, like growing up or even in relationships. Talking isn't really much of a thing. We kind of, you know, we've all been through the struggle, or a lot of us been through, you know, hard places. So we just thug it out and we go through life, but definitely, like, talking to your partner, even friends and family, having conversations, expressing yourself, it's how we grow and get to be better people.
And I think that's what most people kind of fail to realize, that communication is the key to a relationship, especially with us being Black, because we don't express our feelings. I don't personally. I had to learn.
I'm still learning.
You looking at me like,
woo, child.
I had to learn how to communicate, so I get what you're saying when you say, like, you got to learn that person triggers, you got to learn what makes that person mad, and I'm still learning to this day when it comes to relationships, like, because how long, you in a relationship, right? How long you been in a relationship?
It'll be 4 years.
Come on, longevity.
Mine's is going on 6 years in May, and I know, right?
You weren't supposed to catch that look.
But no, because I literally that it's like a lie.
I am proud of you.
I'm proud of myself.
I am proud of you because and
I'm the problem.
Not to take over, but I am proud of you specifically because seeing the growth in you from when I first met you to the woman that you have grown into today.
I was a high
child.
I was a high.
The level of conversation I had to have with this woman about
and
calm
I
down.
Would never admit that I was the problem.
No, it's okay.
She was never the Aquarius.
Grow.
I'm an Aquarius. Of course we're not gonna admit we're wrong. Like, ooh, Jesus. How can you blame it? But the therapy sessions.
Sorry.
The lunch break sessions. They definitely got me through it. How can you say, like, Corey, how did you manage to get to where you are in your relationship now?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that, like how you were hitting, that communication, I think, is one of those things, because you honestly have to choose your partner, like, every day. Like, you know, because you all might, of course, it's going to be good and honeymoon. Oh, well, I never want the honeymoon phase to, like, ever end. I don't believe it has to end. I feel like you should always have, like, that butterfly type of you still excite me feeling, because it just keeps it fresh. And I'm an Aries, so I just feel like I need constant, like, we're really lovers. Like, I'm very real lover. Like, I I definitely wholeheartedly like believe that just choosing your partner like every day and also like knowing the person, because my brother, he's always tried to tell me that it takes like 3 years to really know someone, because after that time, you know, you can really only keep up whatever facade if it was something. So I just feel like just being able to talk, you know, through everything, definitely having God like in the relationship is most important, because you're gonna have to go through stuff together, and sometimes you may not even want to talk to, like, you know, friends or family, because it's like, okay, like, we really just need to like work this out, like, you know, between us. Or if we do need outside help, for sure we can like ask them. But yeah, I just really feel like just choosing your partner like every single day, because it's like, I mean, who else do you really want to be with? Because you don't have to, you know what I mean? Nothing is like forced. So I just feel like this is a choice like we're making, right, to be together. So it's always growing.
A lot of people forget, just because you're dating and you've been like in a relationship for years, that don't mean to stop dating that person.
Exactly.
A lot of people forget that. You stop going on dates, you stop talking, you just assume stuff is okay. And as a black person, not even just as a black person in a relationship, a black relationship, we need to talk. If we don't talk, then we're not going to get nowhere. Me, personally, I hate talking. I hate talking. And I can admit that, because I just, that irritates my soul.
What about the talking do you hate?
Part of the talking that I hate is you want me to sit down and say that you're right.
It's not about being right, though.
You want me to sit, you know you did something, and I know I did something bad because you did something, yeah. So I retaliated. But you want me to sit here and tell you that I was wrong and you were right? No, I'm not doing that. Okay, now I am. But
Growth.
But back then, I was horrible. Like, I didn't care what you did. I didn't care nothing. Like, you wrong. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to tell me you're not wrong. You're wrong. But I promise y'all, I am so much better now. I am a lover girl.
She said she's working on it. No, I mean, it, you know, definitely growth is what you were saying. And I just feel like accepting people for who they are, not who you want them to be, is like also very important as well, because you know, you might have an idea in your mind, but it's like you have to actually like love that person, like all their faults, even all their like strengths, and even knowing how to like make those faults or work, you know, with them to benefit them in some way. So I just feel like definitely that's something I had to learn as well, just not trying to impose what I think that you should do, or you know what I mean, or how you should feel about it, because it also opens up perspective. Like, you want to be able to learn from your partner, you want to be able to be like, okay, like, I didn't think about it this way, or maybe we can compromise on this, you know, communication. But accountability is also, you know, something you always just want to hold them to, you know, what's being done. So it's like they have to be addressed, like, you know, yeah, you did this, I did this because of your, you know, what you did first. But at least you could talk about it. Yeah, well, for the most part, I would say a lot of the time.
No, hold on, how does that work here? Right. You know? Yeah, I guess both.
Okay, who would y'all say is always in the wrong? I'll put y'all in a hot seat. Who do you think? Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, see, here's the thing. Who is always in the wrong? I think a lot of that has to do with perspective.
Who always think they're right? Let's start there. Who always think they're right?
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, who's the first to apologize normally? Yeah, like,
it's Devon. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I do feel like, okay, this is me being a flaw probably, but I do always feel like I'm right at times. But because through conversation, because of conversation, I know to pull back and self-assess. There's times we'll have a conversation and I'll be like, okay, you're right. And I'll be like, I'm sorry. Now, I do not have a problem saying sorry, but he's definitely the first to be like, okay, I get what you're saying, babe. You know, I'm sorry, you're right. And we'll work on this together. So you get the trophy on that one.
But I think even, you know, to build off of what you said, part of what makes a relationship work is understanding that your relationship does not have to look like other relationships. I think so many times we whether it's social media, celebrities, or just these stereotypical what a black relationship is supposed to look like, man's supposed to do this, woman's supposed to do this, or even, you know, in a same-sex relationship, oh, one's got to be the man, one's still got to be the woman. No, in a real relationship, you gotta understand what works for you and your partner.
Exactly.
Not try to make it look, not try to, what works for your brother, your sister, or your brother and brother, yeah, or whatever. Not gonna work necessarily work for your partner, for your, for you and your partner, which is one of the reasons why you shouldn't be always sharing your business about, exactly, your relationship with everybody else. Yeah. They're getting going based off of their perspective, projection, of what works for them.
Yeah.
Whereas in your relationship, what works for y'all, it's not gonna work. Other people, yeah, look at you like you're crazy.
Exactly.
But if it works for us, we're happy. It works, and it, there's nothing wrong with that. So I feel like also people understanding that you don't have to fit into a mold or a stereotype of certain roles or stereotypes or whatever of what's supposed to be happening. As long as you're happy and you're both at least, you're not going to be happy all the time. There's no such, mm-hmm, thing as a per relationship. But if you're both working, mm-hmm, towards growing, evolving, understanding each other, like you said, it takes 3 years to really understand you're still two different people.
Exactly.
You're two different human beings, two different minds, two different experiences. Understanding that and still working to come together, like, okay, you know what, yes, we've had this happen, but like he said, we're gonna have conversations, we're gonna work on this, we're gonna do other people that could have been their thing, we're done, packing bags, gone.
Exactly.
But if you're, like I said, as long as you're both still working towards things and still trying to build things together, and you're understanding that this is what works for us, you don't have to make sense to everybody else. Mom and dad, you don't have to like it.
Exactly. Especially,
no tea, no shade, us being a gay relationship, coming from religious, yeah, backgrounds, y'all think our parents are fond of us? I'm not trying to be funny.
But I feel
realistically,
you,
speaking, we on a whole nother level have to, I pray y'all can't hear this chair, because I'm trying to.
No, you're good. Much. You're good.
Okay. Because every time I go to move, I'm like, but you know, especially with us and LGBT relationships, we have to start from bare minimums, and we don't even have, because like our parents' relationships, you know, we can't use that to kind of build our relationship. It's a different situation.
Yeah.
Or even having, you know, the parents to go to ask for advice, because they've, mm-hmm, been in a relationship for 34 years. We can't necessarily. Some can. But really, that was basically what I was saying. It's just a matter of, you know, like I said, especially with LGBT relationships, we don't have a lot of, whether it's places to look for examples or places to go for advice or whatever. So we're literally building off of, mm-hmm, what we think, which means it evolves, it grows as, you know, time goes on, and we're continuing to learn and figure this thing out, because it's not easy. A regular, you know, heterosexual relationship is not easy. A homosexual one, whole other thing, because we don't have, like I said, but anyway, I'm repeating myself, but yeah.
No, you're good.
Okay, so another thing with relationships, so how do y'all, because y'all live together, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to finances, how do y'all handle that? Like, y'all have something together? Because that's a big conflict. And the only reason I'm asking is because that's a big conflict within Black relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The, can we have a joint banking account? Like, mm-hmm, what do we need a joint banking account for? Mm-hmm. First, we're not married.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start there. I can't even talk like I don't got a joint banking account. But we still have our own personal account. Mm-hmm. So, like, is there any type of conflict? Because y'all relationship goes. Let the folks know.
Done.
Any type of conflict?
You want to answer?
Like, in our relationship currently, you're saying?
Yeah, like,
No, there's no conflict. I think that we just hold each other. Well, we're Capricorn, so.
Y'all both Capricorn?
Yeah.
Yes.
How the hell that works?
I know. No, seriously, y'all are both so calm. Well, yeah.
You're calm.
Yeah.
I can definitely tell. You're calm.
Wait a minute.
I can tell
you're calm, but I feel like he does have some calm in him. I feel like he probably.
I'll tell you off air.
Wait a minute. Why?
He's calm, but he's also, between y'all, he's the fire.
No, he is. What you mean?
You're the fire.
I am the fire.
See, he's the fire.
No, Tino Shane, but he don't know y'all. I know you, so I'm just naturally just, I'm, you know, but I mean.
So my exterior, like, I'm definitely a calm person, but when it's time, I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm the quiet one that's
You don't have to be quiet around this, because I'm a quiet person too. Mm-hmm. And
oh no, this is generally me, but I mean,
I'm a quiet person. Okay. I am.
I feel like I can be quiet
to
too. I feel like it depends.
I know. Not talking.
I know.
Because I will. I swear, I'd be at my radio station. I'd be like, this.
I'm done.
Do it.
Nah, you gotta be. I can't. Your question. I'm sorry. We went left.
But you know, being the Capricorns we are, and we are very planned people. So I'm gonna be honest. We just send each other the money. Like, I'd be like, hey, you know, rent due. Okay, here's the money. So we just create that. We know when our bills are due. We know what's due. Now with a joint account, even for any kind of a relationship, I believe that builds accountability. I think it also builds trust in a way, because you're expecting for it to be in this account at a certain time. Now, I know there are pros and cons to it, because, you know, I've heard of joint accounts that really haven't been joint accounts. They just send the money to account and one person has, you know, but I think that does build trust, accountability. But I mean, I think it's really what works for you. I mean, you don't really have to follow specifics. Like Devon was saying, it's a relationship. We get to set the rules in our relationship. So if it's more comfortable for you to take care of certain bills and I take care of the rest, that's what we have. You don't have to, even when it comes to, you know, heteronormative situations, like, well, I don't know if I could tap into this, but, but, you know, like, there's women who, you say what?
Tap in.
You know, there's women who say, you know, I'm going to take care of this and that. And a man will be like, okay, you know, step back. You know, I think it just, it's based on what makes you comfortable. There's men who don't want their women paying a thing, you know. Mm-hmm. There's women who don't want their men paying a thing in some places in America. So it's really what works for you, what makes you comfortable. And a lot of people in relationships do things, serve in different ways. Like, for some people, paying all the bills is their way of saying, I love you, thank you, mm-hmm. I appreciate you. For other people,
can you tell me where you find those men at?
You know what? They do exist.
I mean, he do stuff, but
mm-hmm.
it don't hurt, you know.
He said it don't hurt.
What do you mean? Like, what kind of man are you?
The man that pays all your bills.
That's Jay's job.
It's the fact that you're whispering. Literally. Like, it's gonna make a difference literally. For me.
Now, I feel like Southern men have more of that traditional mindset.
How Southern are we talking?
You mean like states, or what do you mean?
Like, we going down south, like Texas.
She trying to find where.
She's trying to find where. Basically, what she's trying to say. I'm tired.
We're going to Texas. We're going to Florida, South Florida. Okay. We're going to North Carolina. Yeah.
But see, look, like, even like we get into this type of like 50-50 type of debate, because I literally, it's never a day that I don't see this on Twitter, mm-hmm. on Instagram. Like, they're always talking about it. And I grew up, my dad paid all the bills. Like, my mom did not have to work. She didn't have to do any of that. So, of course, like, anything that I'm, you know, whoever I'm with, like, my dad's automatically like, well, I taught you already what you should be getting treated like. You know what I mean? Like, if I was able to do this, then you should be able to be provided for just as much. Like, I set you up to have all of this. You know what I mean? To be in these type of calibers, or this type of room. So it's like, I respect that, but I also do respect women who may want to do 50-50, you know what I mean? Or may have had a different upbringing. So I just really, like you said, it depends on what works for the couple. Because, you know, some men literally will not want you to pay for like a thing. That feels like that's taken away from their like manhood or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whatever works, you know what I mean? For everyone, like, it, whatever makes them happy. But
just out of curiosity, with as expensive as things are now, do you feel like it's realistic anymore for one person to, whether it's a male or female, to pay all the bills now?
I feel like if they're in a position where they're making a certain amount,
or realistic to find somebody that's going to actually do that, I guess I should
say. I think they're out there. I do think that there's some men who have traditional values like that, that they're like, okay, I'm the provider and the man in the house, and I want you to, you know, take care of the household, like take care of the kids. Like, I do believe that some of them have that mindset. But I will say that I do see now a more of an increase in men like, oh, well, we should do 50-50 or, you know, even though we do 50-50, like, I expect you to cook and every day and clean still and do everything, like, I'm paying everything. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you're going to do 50-50, then like split it like all the way through, like you take half the chores then. Like, I'm not going to be slaving and doing everything, and I'm putting just as much. You know what I mean? Like, no. So and it was just different.
I've had that debate with my man 1,100 times. Like, I personally want to go 50-50 because ain't no man about to tell me, I'm paying all the bills, you got to get out, or I need you to cook for me, or I need you to clean for me. Who you come again?
Yeah, and that's not okay. Like, you should always have your, I feel like, your own for sure, but they should never throw that in your face. Like, yeah, that should not be a thing.
And my boyfriend, he's not like that, but I just still don't want to give no man like the audacity or to even think, oh, I pay all the bills in this motherfucker, so I'm finna say her what to do. Mm-hmm. Please do not forget where I come from. I'm not in my soft girl area. I'm not. I'm working on it. I'm too hard body. But as far as the 50-50, I mean, I have no problem with doing 50-50 because I just want you to know you don't run shit.
So I have a question. Do y'all feel like that, well, if I can call it a traditional mindset of the, you know, the man pays all the bills, do you feel like that works in this kind of time and climate in the world right now?
I'm going to give you two answers because I see on Instagram, you know, females these days, they want a man to pay all those bills. But the mindset I have is, like I just kind of said, I don't want a man to pay all my bills because I don't want you to think you got a certain type of control over me because you don't. But the city girl side, like, yeah, pay my bills. But it also, like she said, if you're paying all the bills, yeah, I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to clean the house. Like, you're paying all the bills. My money's going in my pocket. But still, in the back of my head, I'm like, I can't even do that. Like,
And see, that's what I'm saying.
I want to get counseled.
No, but no, that's why I'm like, it's so many different ways to look at that because you literally will see, like, even if the man pays all the bills, right? Like, he might still not even expect his wife to do anything, like, around the house. He might even be like, if you want a maid, we can get one. Like, if you want this, if you want to have kids, we can get a nanny. Like, it's just, I just feel like it depends on how a man is, like, set up and how he's built, like, just mentally where he is. Because some men will literally take care of everything and not have any care in the world. In his bank account. Like, literally, he'll be like, shoot, whatever makes you happy, whatever you want. Like, that's what I want. Because it's like, you're good, you're calm. That makes sure we're good. You know what I mean? Like, the women, like, we're the heart of the household. Like, we determine the mood. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we're upset, no matter what, like,
you can pay all the exactly. Now, I'm still gonna say you have to.
It's still going to. Yeah,
but that's why even for us, like, we've discussed the way of our finances. Like, we both, even, you know, when we get married, our we both have to have our own separate accounts. We would have like a joint account where that's where bills would come out of. Because I feel like it's important to have your own. You're still an adult. You still get to spend your money the way you want to. You shouldn't have to. Hey, babe, can I get this McDonald's?
Exactly. Like, no. You know, yeah.
That's annoying. He's still grown. I'm still grown. So we have to always call my man. And then also I feel like you can't really surprise your partner either if the minute you go to get a cruise or, you know, try to get the flowers or whatever,
they see,
babe, did you just walk the car?
Exactly.
You know, it takes even that out of it. So that's why, like, I feel like have separate, just to get back to your original question, have separate accounts, but then also have like a joint account that you, like, that's what you pay bills out of and pay for 50 out of,
like, a joint credit account would go too.
Like, ladies, like, men, who, everyone, yes, always have your own, like, regardless of whether somebody gonna pay for it or not, like, you just always want to make sure that you're straight, like, you have your stuff set up. Then that's just an added bonus, like, for somebody to want to take care of the rest. But definitely make sure you good.
Like, sugar babies that be broke after me. I've never understood that. Like,
they blow it on bags and stuff.
Like, you didn't. They want to save the account nowhere. I'm confused.
How you broke after?
I'll be so confused.
They probably be blowing it on stupid stuff. Like, bags, trips, whatever.
They broke.
I've never heard this the first time hearing
No, it. It's a real, they really be broke. Like,
wow. Okay, so I'll say they're sugar daddies.
Right.
I would show them how to save money.
I'm done. That's something, like, even if you have somebody paying all your bills, you should still be sending stuff. If they're sending you money, okay.
Exactly. Because there's no reason for you to be broke if someone's taking care of your bills.
Like, that makes no sense.
And if you have money coming in, like, come on now. Like, all you're doing is stacking your bread. Like, literally. That's just how I look at it. Like, there's just no way.
Exactly.
No way. That's how you know people don't have good money management.
Exactly.
Well, I have one last question before we kind of move into our little spicy truth and drink.
Oh, you added. Wait a minute.
All right.
Every time it reference this truth and drink, you add something. Now it was spicy. But go ahead.
What I said the first time.
It was just truth
and drink.
I didn't know, but we didn't know about the truth and drink first. Now it's the truth and drink. Now it's spicy.
Now it's spicy.
It's growing. But go ahead.
Yeah, we get spicy on this show. Real spicy. If you have,
this gonna be my first one too, so I don't even know what to expect.
Can we plead the fifth?
You plead the fifth. You drink.
Yeah, ooh, you have to drink.
I'm sorry. I'm asking. I'm moving on. Go ahead. My bad.
I'll tell y'all about that later.
Okay.
But my last question that I have for you all, is there marriage in y'all future?
Yes.
Oh, I don't believe it's confident.
Right. I love that. Sure.
I mean,
I would be like.
Jay, you are funny, bro.
I mean, I'll say this, and then, you know, if you want to, right. If you're going to be with somebody for an extended period of time, especially past year, 6 years, I think.
Four years.
That's another question. I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm done. If you don't have marriage in your mind by then what are you doing?
True.
So within like the first, I'm not saying you about to put a ring on it within like the first, you know, 5-6 months, but by 5-6 months, you should have some kind of idea. Is this someone that in the future, as we continue to grow and learn each other, that I can see myself putting a ring on? If you don't know that by then, ooh, Jesus fix it.
I know I said it was my last
Jesus
question,
fix it.
But when you answered that question, it just made me think. So how long do y'all think you should know, like, when okay, I want to be married.
Yeah. To marry. I'll let you go first. I don't know.
I'm done. I think, okay, so you said your question was how long should you be in a relationship before you know this person is someone you want to marry?
Yeah.
Kind of like I said a few minutes ago, by 5 or 6 months, because I feel like, you know, you like you kind of said earlier, the facade or the butterflies, I feel like that begins to wear off around like 5 or 6 months in a relationship. By then, you walk around the house in a bonnet, you don't give a crap, like you just, you know, you got the belly hanging out, you're going to be real. So by then, you should be seeing the person who they really are, and by obviously, you're still growing and figuring things out, but 6 months or so, you should kind of have an idea if you wanted to, you know, put a ring on it.
Okay, so in my case, like, it's been 6 years, but also remember, I'm only 23, mm-hmm. and we've been together since I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, marriage is in the future, but
we're so young.
Yeah,
y'all like, are a special case. Few,
yeah, that's why I'm like, yeah, like I started, like,
how long
yeah,
because I feel like you just kind of called me out with the
No, okay, that also goes back to what I was saying earlier. Every relationship is different. Me saying 5 or 6 months, that still goes what I originally was saying. You got to build your relationship, but there are some people that will never get married. Know, and they will be like, way happier than 90% of marriages.
Marriage, yeah.
That part.
Or domestic partnerships.
That part. There are relationships, they will never get married.
And they are content in that.
Than 90% of the marriages on this earth. So that goes back into what works for your relationship. Works for your relationship. If y'all go 10 years before y'all decide to get married.
Yeah, hold up.
Yeah, not 10.
I don't care if we're 25. I'm looking. You got what, 6 years,
but I know. I see what he means because in our case, we did start dating them young. Like we were like young. Like I was like 19 when I started dating him, right? So it's like, well, I'm gonna be 24. He'll be 26 this year. So I feel like in maybe like a few more years.
That's
right about babies. No, that's when I would be. Though. Yeah, like, we are.
We're popping our.
That's
shit.
What I'm saying. Like I don't feel like I would be okay with that. Yeah, I mean. I would feel like probably in a few years. Like I would probably want to like maybe 28, like 27. Like we already are talking about I kind of wanted like a future wedding band like / promise ring. So that just comes before he gives me the actual like diamond. And that'll be like a Cartier love band with our initials engraved and our anniversary date engraved. So I thought that was like a good step to be like, you know, like you know, we're together 4 years. So it's like, obviously like I'm planning on marrying you and I want to give you this. So you like, no, you know what I mean? So I just feel like that's, I'm ready for that. Like I'm good with that. And us like living together and like us being able to get that out the way. And it's like, okay. And then it's like, yeah, I'll be like, yep, I'm ready. You know what I mean? Yes.
Now I got a question and I'm gonna stop with my man. I know the answer, but I'm stopping with my man. So, and I'm gonna ask everybody. So how long, and y'all, I think I already know the answer, but for him, but what's too long for your relationship, the amount of time y'all have been in them? What's too long?
Too long.
I'm stopping with my man.
To not get proposed.
What's too long? I'll
say engagement, not the actual wedding.
Engagement.
How long of an engagement?
How long is too long before you get engaged?
I think anything beyond 3 years is too long. I mean, 3 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything beyond 3 years is like, okay, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. But I also feel like it boils down to intention because everyone's not getting married. Everyone who's getting married is not in love with each other. And everyone has their own different motives of marriage. There's people just getting married for a license to travel, you know.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
So I think it boils down to that. Like, do you want to be married to me because you are in love with me and you want us to be not only partners in love, but legally, like, you know, because being married comes with a lot, you know, like there's a lot of legal documents, you know, if we get a divorce, now you got to worry about alimony, you got to worry about court orders for who has custody of children. And it's a lot. And I know a lot of people in domestic, my aunt was in a very long domestic partnership and they got married yesterday. They got married.
Aww, congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been together for a long time. And to be honest, which I hope I could tell a little bit of her business, but they were in love. They were in love. And so when she told me she was getting married, I'm like, okay, well, you're... right now, it's probably, you know, there's probably some legal things that you want to accomplish because they've been together since I was a little boy. I mean, I'm 26, you know, so it's like y'all been together for a long time. So I think it boils down to what is your intention with marriage? Because if you think you're going to put a ring on a finger and now it's okay, yeah, we're this means we're solid in our love. Not necessarily, yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, you're solid before.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, dating, you have to continue to date your partner because you never know, you know, as years progress and time progress, you get to know more about your partner, so.
Okay. Yeah. So y'all ready to be tapping because it is spicy.
Oh, I've been.
Should I drink first?
I know.
I'm gonna go ahead and take me a shot.
I was.
I know. I've been sipping too.
This is so good.
So I'll explain how the game works. Normal spicy truth and drink. You know, y'all can make up questions on y'all own. I do have some questions. If y'all have your own, definitely ask. Everybody got their opinion here. We gonna have fun. It's a game night, and yeah, sign up.
We'll be right back after this quick break. If you want to advertise your music on our platform, make sure you hit us up at dearprettygirls.xo on Instagram.
All right, y'all. So we're about to do our spicy truth and drink. And y'all already know, we get into it. And this is Corey's first time doing a truth and drink with Dear Pretty Girls.
I'm scared.
So.
Don't be scared.
I know.
My question to everyone, and I'm a drink as well. I put my input in. What is the wildest place you've ever had an intimate relation? Y'all gonna tell it or y'all gonna drink it?
I'm gonna drink.
Okay, well, since everybody wants to drink, I guess I will.
I signed the NDA for a walk-in.
Oh, no.
I had a tongue pop to that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, my mama watched it.
No, that's what I was saying.
What you're not about to do. There's a lot of brands sitting at the table. We're not about to
do that. I was thinking about it, but my mama be watching me.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever cheated on a partner? And if so, did they find out? Yes.
Oh, no, I have not.
Well, what's cheating?
Anything.
Some people think flirting is cheating. That, some people think
anything that you know. Your partner would feel uncomfortable about if they found out, or you would feel uncomfortable about if they did. No? Okay.
No?
No. I can definitely say yes. They found out. And also, if y'all want to share y'all experiences, we would love to hear them. We would love to hear them. What's the most embarrassing thing you've done while intoxicated?
I don't get drunk like that.
I've thrown up on myself.
I think I passed out. Yeah, I think I passed out. That was probably embarrassing. Well, because it was a crazy night. You know, we were just doing a lot, me and my friends. But it was just, I think I was just so like, I don't know, because I'm not a drinker. So it was like early college days and we were literally getting back. And like in the freaking elevator, like I'm like over here passing out. Like I'm like, and they're literally just helping. I'm literally like, it was crazy. Like when people say that, like they pass out, like they blank out, like you really do. Cause yes, I was just like, whoa, like, I'm like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. And then it was like back. And then I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm back. Never again. I was, this is why I don't like.
I've only been drunk like twice in my life. And both of them, I think, were birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do anything crazy. I was just throwing up afterwards. That's like,
that is the worst.
I don't drink
thing.
Like that. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Like, he'll tell you, I'm not like a big, he's not a, you know, I mean, he'll drink, but he's not a.
Right. Like on occasion. Yeah. And I love champagne, like, you know.
Yeah. A little bubbly. I'm a social drinker, but I'm literally just like sipping, like, I'm doing now. So I can't really. Did you have anything you wanted to?
Well, I'm the calm and collected friend, I think. My friends are going to be like, no, you're not. But I'm the cute friend. So I would say for a lot of the old twerking on the car when I was drunk, I mean, I felt weirded out because my friends were like, what is going on? So, yeah.
You were having fun.
I was.
Turn.
You got one?
Yeah. I think, what is the weirdest place you vomited after drinking too much? A club? Bathroom?
In the car.
Oh my God, in the 7-Eleven parking lot. That was me.
Done. Were you with me that night?
You told me about it.
Oh yeah. It was,
were you there?
It was in, was it 7-Eleven or Shell? It was in Fort Lauderdale. It was so embarrassing. I was with my friend. It was the first time I was drunk, and he got, Leo, if you watch this, this was your fault. You got me drunk.
He said, and, if you're watching this, it's your fault.
Okay, I drunk everything that night. It was, I went from beer to wine to light to dark. It was, I
don't even know how you survived.
I was 21 in Wilson Manor. And he had to jump in the driver's seat and drive me, and I had work that morning.
Oh my goodness.
So as a Capricorn, I was freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, I have to open the store at at 11, and child, I was not, well, I'm no longer with the company anymore, so I can say this. But it was wild, and it took me 2 days to feel better because it was crazy.
Alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you probably had alcohol poisoning.
It was bad
for sure.
But yeah, I was like, you know, that's a episode on SpongeBob when he said, I need water. That was me. I was like, I need water.
Oh, yeah, dehydrated.
And he pulled over Shell, and I was like, I was
super dehydrated.
It was a lot.
Me, like, when was my birthday? It was me like 2 weeks ago. I drank Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'm just now recovering. I had alcohol poisoning. Like, I'm talking about, I didn't eat nothing. That was the worst part. So when you have nothing near your stomach, yeah, you're vomiting, it's like, you know that feeling when you vomit, nothing's coming up. So I'm just like, it just kept hurting up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nothing's coming out, and it hurts.
I'm done.
And it hurts. No, for real.
And you vodka.
No, for real. It's the worst when you mix and it just all comes. Yeah, it's just
doesn't end well at all.
That's what I'm saying, because I went out with my my cousins in LA, because you know they the plugs, right? So they like, whenever I go out with them, like, I'm set. Like, I don't have need anything. They the type to argue about who gonna pay the bill. Like, they want to pay it. They're everything is taken care of. Like, they know the owners, everything in the club. So like, we're literally in there, like, we're just mixing, and I'm just, you know, I'm there, I'm thinking I can handle it. Like, okay, like, I don't even drink that much anyway. No, like, 2 hours in, I'm over here throwing up my life in the club bathroom. The music is blaring, like, it's just, and it's just looking, I'm
it
trying
gets
to come
louder when you're
it gets louder, and I'm over here staggering out. I'm like, okay, I'll go back upstairs. They're like, more drink. I'm like, no. And I just sit there.
I have one last question. I'm looking for the best. Oh, okay. Have you ever had a one-night stand, and how did it turn out?
Okay, if anybody lies at this table and said they didn't, you need Sunday.
I have not.
You've never had a one-night stand?
My boyfriend is the only one I've been with.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Congratulations. That part.
I'm going to save a lot of trouble.
That part.
I'm going to be real with y'all. I was a hoe back in the day. Like, the truth.
We don't hold shame up.
We don't judge over here, y'all.
We don't judge.
And only reason I would say that is because I definitely had, you know, when you go through that heartbreak, and it's like, oh, I want my get back. Mm-hmm. It was one of those moments. I definitely had a one night stand, and I can talk to y'all about it.
Okay.
Oh my.
What are we waiting?
Okay. Because I'll be trying to be really authentic. But okay. So my one night stand, I'm thinking of
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. I promise you, I don't do that no more. But I had definitely had one where I'm not talking about you, not this relationship.
Done.
So I had to be like,
no facts. She got
me. She didn't go home in trouble. Go
ahead. I gotta do some real editing on this shit. I was 18. I just turned 18, and I was going through something, and I had started messing with this dude. He was like 23. I was still in high school. And never mind, it's too explicit. How can I get through this? Basically, and it was, this matched my weirdest place. It was in a car in the library parking lot.
Come on, library.
Scholar, I am crying. Literally.
I was just going through a lot, and I know him, but it was like I really did know him, and I was trying to say too much without saying too much.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. That was my one night stand. I was going through a lot. I knew him But it wasn't to the point where it was like, oh, let's like hook up. But we hooked up in the car, library parking lot, and I never talked to him again. Mm-hmm. After that, I can't even tell you his name.
Was it worth it? Was it good? No, it wasn't good.
If you got to think about it.
It wasn't good.
Okay. No.
She said no.
Yeah, it wasn't good. No. You
know. It's an experience.
I might edit this part out. I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm crying.
I can't. One that I had a long time ago, obviously got to get disclaimed, was one long time ago. And I'm not even going to say anything gory per se. I don't know what's with people and drugs for sexual situations.
I don't get it either.
Like, I showed up to a Sneaky Link, and he pulls out, like, I don't want to get you blocked off nothing. He pulls out a certain kind
they
of...
They know we explicit.
Okay, here. He pulls out a crack pipe.
Oh.
And I'm like...
Oh, that's...
Now, mind you. I'm like...
That,
and
yeah.
This was normal, and asked me if I wanted to hit
you. You were like, no.
So quickly... Oh, no, I'm good.
like, you were like,
black,
no.
Black don't crack over here.
Crack is black, baby.
But yeah. The part that threw me so much was how normal it was to him. Like, he pulled it out, like, oh, this is what he do everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it was mutual. Like, I ever said, oh, yeah, we about to... I'm like, what the
hell? You're like, no, I don't do that.
I don't do that.
I don't know nothing about that.
I don't judge. No, yeah.
But you're just like, yeah, you don't do that.
I was like, he pointed out ever so nonchalant, but like, this is just normal, everyday, you know, bagger. Recreational situations that we just do to get up in the morning. I'm like, what the world? That was a weird situation. I ain't getting into nothing gory, but that was a weird situation, I guess I could say.
I don't really have a time. But just to parallel what you're saying, some guy was talking about a booty bump. Do y'all know what a booty bump
is? I've heard
of
that before, yeah.
You take you inject it in your buttocks, and it gets you high. It makes you, I don't know. There's so many different ways now to do it.
I think that's probably more of an LGBT thing, because, you know, with the butt. So, yeah.
We're hooking the world.
No, for real.
The whole world, baby.
No,
I'm
like, really?
We're in different departments.
No.
Let me send this to a different department for you.
Different department.
I'm crying.
Yeah. Seen a whole lot.
But I love that, you know, that your boyfriend, that you've never had to, because they can be, like, I firmly believe that having sexual intercourse with people, you gain spirits.
Yes.
There's connections to it. There's, even if it was, y'all didn't have to talk, there's spirits that can definitely, and I hope I'm not getting spooky or nothing, but, you know, there's spirits that can be definitely attached to that. So I love that, you know, it's just you and your
boyfriend. Yeah, thank you.
I'm trying not to move, but it's like...
Yeah, but I know that y'all might have mentioned earlier, like, you know, where can people find y'all, but definitely name drop y'all socials again.
Okay. Sing_cash with a K is where you'll be able to find me on Instagram. And if you're looking for my music, you will type in Kashif. That's K-A-S-H-I-E-F. I have a new release song called I'm Here, and you'll love it.
That's what you should have
said. You'll love it. Oh, no. But you will love it. Definitely, you know, talks about I'm here, you know, being here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't take the time to breathe and say, you know, I'm here. I made it. You know, your 8-year-old self would look at yourself now and be like, wow, I accomplished so many things I thought were impossible. So definitely check it out. It's available on all streaming platforms. So I'm grateful to be here too.
And can you tell us a little bit more ending off? Like, what's your social media? Where can I come find you at?
Okay. So my Instagram and TikTok, Devana Devin. Okay. Because nobody can seem to ever get my name correct. It's always Devin. it is Devon. But anyway, so Devon.Devin on both Instagram and TikTok. My store for my clothing is thedevonartist.com. Those are the main, I'm on Facebook, but I don't really be on there like that. So Instagram and TikTok are the main platforms I actually post on. So yeah, that's where everybody can find me. I super appreciate being able to come here and have this beautiful chat and everything else. I enjoyed myself.
I did really enjoy y'all.
Amazing.
All right, y'all. And y'all heard it here first. We have Devon and Cash, the couple goals. So definitely make sure y'all tune in to their pretty girls. And y'all going to be seeing Miss Corey some more. This ain't the last time y'all going to see her. So we finna take over, okay?
Yes, we are.
So thank y'all for tuning in at Dear Pretty Girls. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye.
Later.